Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 85, part of the Pull Tab Sports family. Happy Thanksgiving week to all of you. This is going to be a very strong podcast. A lot of wisdom coming out today. I'm going to give you some stuff to think about, especially you young people out there. Thanksgiving is perhaps the best holiday of all holidays. And if you're preparing, it's not too late to do Thanksgiving correctly. Some things to remember. We've reviewed this before. You need to start early. There is no reason to start Thanksgiving at 3 or 4 o'clock when it's already getting dark and sad. You should have your guests arriving at noon. Maybe even tell them 11:30 start. I believe the first football game starts at 11:30. That is what you're paying attention to, that first football game start. You want people over, little cocktail hour. This allows you to have your leftovers around dinner time. So think of it as a day to just spend together with family, friends, fellowship. Maybe my dog Riggins, who's bothering me right here. But early start is huge. I'm a big fan of doing the 5K run. You know, the fast before the feast, kind of an 8:30 start, maybe a long sleeve, a little sweat, a couple pictures for the Instagram. Then hosting is always a good idea. But if you're not hosting, the early start is excellent because you can kind of step, you can lean into it a little bit early and then wait for it to wear off and then safely drive home. We're going to want to avoid pecan pie. Sunday morning coming down is not, we are not pro pecan. We do not like pecan pie. I would go pumpkin, French silk, maybe a banana cream if you need three pies. I don't know what's happening with my dog here, but Riggins is very much a part of podcast number 85, so enjoy that the rest of the way. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I really enjoy talking to you. I enjoy doing this crazy little experiment that we started a long time ago, 85 weeks ago. I'm sitting in my basement trying my best to tell you some things, not proclaiming that I know anything because I don't, just look at me, but I am more than willing to try to tell you some things that might perhaps help you. I had a great week this week for the Viking game. The Viking season's been tough. It's been gruesome. No blowouts either way. So if you're watching a Viking game, it means 4 hours in the basement. And oftentimes, because they're going to play the whole overtime, and then they're going to check down or miss a kick, and you're going to walk up the stairs, and your spouse is going to say, "Why do you do that? Why? You know they're the worst. Why? We know this. This is like a bad boyfriend times 10. Why are you doing this?" Well, last week I had a new strategy. A buddy mentioned to me that he had built a sauna in his yard. It was not a kind of $5,000 wooden cedar sauna. He had bought something online from Russia, $1,500, a tent sauna, right down by White Bear Lake. So I spent the Viking game going in and out of White Bear Lake between. So you would sauna, get super hot, and then you would walk into the water, and then you would come back, and Paul Allen's on the radio, so you were doing something constructive. They did happen to win the game, which was nice, but I will say the one thing, I'm not a lake guy. I didn't grow up on a lake. I'm not nautical. I can drive a pontoon boat, but that's about it. So this guy that was hosting me, the lake is not very deep where he is at, so you'd walk out a little ways, And he would do this amazing, like, lake person dive into the water. So it's only like 3 feet deep, and he would somehow kind of dive forward and not hit the dirt and get completely wet and then go back into the sauna. I had to basically kneel down and start doing push-ups, and I would just get my hair wet and go back into the sauna. So I would like to know how to get better at lake things. When we have our new house in Cottage Park, maybe I'll learn some lake things. Speaking of being thankful, I'm thankful because my wife found my black J. Hilburn pants this week. They were not lost in Boston. They have been retrieved. I've worn them this week already. And that's just a nice touch. I've been a little delinquent posting some of my new clothing. I know that the 300 people on the Sunday Morning Coming Down pod on Instagram have been just salivating, waiting for more J. Hilburn photos of me. But those will be coming out. And it's that time of year. You're going to be seeing people. You know, we have a good 6 weeks before we get into sweatshirt, no one seeing us, Minnesota, gain 10 pounds, no one knows. We're a little ways from that. So you got to make the rounds now. You're going to be at dinner parties, work parties, holiday parties. Get some good clothes. Get some custom casual. Talk to Andy. You can see her on our Instagram. It's not hard to find stylist Andy. But get some new clothes. Get some new clothes for your dude. I think I'm going to get a hoodie with Rey written on the front, which is Spanish for king, R-E-Y. I think I'm going to bite the bullet on that. Andy sent me that as a suggestion. J. Hilburn, custom clothier, get measured. Get the video game specs on your body so that all you have to do is on a whim, you might watch a Thomas Rhett video and think his clothes are cool, and you send that picture to Andy, and next thing you know, a few weeks later, you're dressed like Thomas Rhett. Not a bad deal. So I am thankful for J. Hilburn. If you buy some, you will be too. J. Hilburn, let the compliments begin. I'm also thankful for Adele. I watched her special. There's a lot going on with Adele. She got divorced. That was a traumatic experience because she chose herself. She chose her best self. And because of that, as I understand it, the husband, when she took a piece of blank paper out and wrote the best version of Adele on it, I think the husband got a little Ghostbuster symbol circle with a line through it. She had to explain this to her young son, and she's made an album talking about all of that, and she talked to Oprah about that. Some of you might have watched it, and I'm not super into all that stuff, but man, what a singer. This song, Easy, you know, Go Easy on Me, the messages in the song, she's got a song called Hold On. Maybe I'll throw that one on the end of the podcast. I mean, she's crushing iTunes. This is not news to anyone that Adele has a new record out, but pretty special woman in the music scene. We're not going to follow her on Instagram. We only follow Harry and Taylor. But certainly Adele is in that other ring with, you know, Bieber and some of the others. She is a one-word superstar, and she can sing it all. And some of these messages, you know, learning to love yourself seems to be what I think most people are telling you it's an album about divorce. I would say it's an album about learning to love yourself, and that is pretty cool. And she certainly has some big, big, big hits on there. So thank you, Adele, for just being in the world. I'm excited about that. I've been watching a TV show. It is not a new TV show. A client of mine told me to watch this for like a year. Generally, when someone recommends something to me, it takes me about 1 year to actually do the thing. I'd like to make an apology to my daughter. My daughter probably recommended Animal Kingdom to me 2 years ago. She's notorious for telling me something a year before I actually do it, and then I end up thanking someone else for recommending it when she actually recommended it a year earlier. So sorry about that, Peyton. But this show, Animal Kingdom, it's basically, it seems like every television show is essentially the same. Succession, Yellowstone, Peaky Blinders, Animal Kingdom, they're all kind of the same show, and I basically like all of them. So kind of a family of criminals living in California. Ellen Barkin is their mother, and she is kind of the Tony Soprano of Animal Kingdom. It is an awesome show. Check it out, Amazon Prime. They have a toast that they do whenever they drink on Animal Kingdom, and they say, "May we get what we want and not what we deserve." And then they kind of toast their tequila shots. I like that. I used that at St. John's today at the tailgate party. I think I was doing a lemon drop shot when I did that. So I think that that probably erased the Animal Kingdom factor of it. I think the stubble on my beard went into my face when I sipped the lemon drop shot. But if you need a toast over the holidays, may we get what we want and not what we deserve. Another bit of positivity. I think that's a little bit of a theme here. A lot of wisdom, a lot of positivity today. Another television show I love is called Inside the NFL. Used to be on Showtime. It is on Paramount Plus, the app. I don't know how all this stuff works, but great show. Julian Edelman is a phenom. I've mentioned this before, but they had a little mic'd up Dak Prescott from the Cowboys, who by all accounts seems like a wonderful leader and a really good guy. And he was yelling to his team, and this is what he said to them. He said, "Be us. The best version is ourselves." Are you kidding me? If that was at Good Things, moms would be buying knickknacks with that written on it. Adele could have wrote those lines. Be us, the best version is ourselves. I love that. What a positive guy. No wonder he is winning. If you are watching Yellowstone, I would also encourage you, Pull Tab Sports is kind of the overall structure. This podcast is a part of that. I think a lot of the people that listen to Sunday Morning Coming Down, this might be the only place that you engage with Pull Tab Sports. But if you're a Wild fan, we have a podcast called Stanley on 7th, myself and Ryan Carter. I feel like we figured that out. We have one called Can You Keep a Secret, where we interview people with my partner Tom. We just wrote an article where we took each Wild player and said which character they would be on Yellowstone. So if you're a Minnesota Wild fan, check that out on pulltabsports.com. I did get over to the Secret Smoker this week, which was awesome. Brought the in-laws over there. So for the first time, my mother-in-law and Cletus got to check out the Secret Cigar Club, which takes place on Tuesdays and Saturdays here in White Bear Lake. While we were there, a couple good exchanges. Cletus said they were having some whiskey, some Angel's Envy in a shotgun shell shot glass. And he was saying up in Starbuck, Minnesota, what they've been drinking lately is whatever bottle is almost empty. And I said, "So you're okay. You're taking an inventory approach to your drinking." And he said, "Yeah, whatever bottle's almost empty, we drink that first." And it's like they're trying to, I guess, get through it all, which was a pretty, pretty interesting line. They also had a great debate. Cletus at one point said, "If you don't make plans, you won't be disappointed." That's what he said. He said, "I don't make plans anymore because if you don't make plans, you won't be disappointed." At this point, my mother-in-law jumped right in and said, "That is a bunch of bullshit. Make plans and make it happen and you won't be disappointed." So there's your two sides. You can either don't make plans, you won't be disappointed. Perhaps a nicer way to say that is let the day come to you. Or make it happen, and you won't be disappointed. Food for thought. More on that later. I was at a coffee shop in Stillwater this week, and I did not have my wallet when I walked in. And believe it or not, the guy says to me, "That's fine. Someone this morning paid it forward, and so I have a free coffee for someone. You can have it." They paid it forward. And I said, "Well, how does that work? Do I have to do it to someone else?" And he said, "No, just be extra nice to someone today." And I thought to myself, I'm going to do that. And then I totally forgot, and I didn't do it. So maybe I'll do that at some point. Someone out there, I might be extra nice to you. Or I might completely forget, which I did last time. I'm getting to the end of my college football gambling. Every year, myself and my high school buddies and one college buddy, the guys we do the guys trip with, Gordo Cinco, the Fat Five. We pick five games a week with the spread. This is like the most tactical gambling thing in the world. If you've never done this, if you want to really be impressed by Las Vegas, Nevada, try to pick five games against the spread every week. It is uncanny how hard it is and how good they are. Now, I have had a very good success rate in this competition. I am the one that initiated it many, many years ago. But I've had I'm knocking on wood. I think you knock on wood three times. I think that's what people say. But so I don't want to jinx myself because this is the last week unless we're tied. I need to probably, generally, if you can get three out of five right a week, you will win. So if I could somehow get 3 points this week, I think I'll be victorious, in which case I believe I will add one more thing I'm good at. I am good at parallel parking. I could be in the Olympics for parallel parking. I drive big vehicles. I can parallel park them anywhere randomly because I'm not manly in any other way. I guess I'm kind of manly in the sense that I can break in a hat in 10 minutes. If you let me borrow your hat, I must have acid that comes out of my head. It will be distressed in a week. And I also often smell the back of my pants to decide if I can wear them the next day. So that's kind of manly, and I pee standing up. But the other thing I'm good at, apparently, is maybe college football gambling. We'll see by the end of the day today. I got to talk a little bit about our friends from Big Wood. There's a guy that's just wonderful, their marketing guy. His name is Trevis. I don't know why it's Trevis and not Travis. I would normally hold that against him, but I really like him. He's doing a good job. So he's got a trivia question for you. This is nothing. You could maybe Google this, but I don't know that you'll be successful. So what classic band did Big Wood owner Jason tour with in the late 80s? So Jason, who owns Big Wood, is a prolific guitarist, and he was a guitarist for a very famous band in the 1980s. So if you know the answer to that question, that'll give you $25 at the Big Wood Tap Room. As far as their promotions, one more week for the Black Anvil on Black Friday. We're going to put some pictures of that up on social. Remember, this is the beer that is so dark, it's like the woods when on a moonless night. They're also going to extend their hours. So the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday, so if you're in town from college or what have you, Big Wood will be open noon to midnight. So that's pretty cool. So check that out. And on Black Friday, pick up a Black Anvil from Big Wood Brewery. We have a question, a query this week, and it is from a college student. You know that we're trying to get back into this kind of helping the young people, trying to be the cool uncle for the young people. And this is a question I thought was excellent. By the way, the video I'm looking at, the guy who sent in this question is wearing a Long Beach Under Armour shirt. He has a poster. So by the way, just having posters on your wall, I think generally I want all of our questions to come from people who have posters still hanging on their wall. Chance the Rapper, a guy dunking a Boston College banner, a USA flag. Here is his question.
Hey, John, what are some things you wish you did before you graduated college?
He says, what are some things you wish you did before you graduated college? And I really spent some time thinking about this. It is my dream. I hope that somewhere on Boston College's campus today, Sunday, that maybe there's a group of people hungover listening to some Morgan Wallen, listening to the podcast, and I can provide some thoughts. So here's what I would tell you. It's less about being in college, but so you're 22 years old. You're 20, you're 23, you're 19, whatever. You're in college. I would tell you, in life, professionally, and it's more than just professionally, it's kind of in life generally, you have a choice. And that choice is either to be in the wilderness or to be in the zoo, okay? I spent most of my career in the zoo, and I had a good experience. I loved Pat Fallon. I worked in advertising for 23 years. Some good stories, got to work with some really talented people. I've been in the wilderness for about a year and a half, running my own company. And I got to tell you, the wilderness is awesome. And now I'm 47. And so if I was in college, what I would tell you is get into the wilderness as fast as you can. And what that means is find ways to do things for yourself, to build things for yourself, to create things, to start things. Now, keep in mind, it is harder. It is way harder than having a regular job and being an employee, okay? But when I think of the word employee now, I think of a sucker. There's just a sucker. Maybe it's at a liquor store and it says employee on it. I do not want to be an employee. We started our company and called it owner because we want to be owners. And so get into the wilderness and do some stuff. You know, my son's girlfriend has an apparel company called Unfazed, you know, and she's spending thousands of dollars every month trying to get that thing going, which is cool. And you know, she's a kid, but she's trying to do stuff. She's trying to be an entrepreneur. She's in the wilderness. To be in the wilderness, you have to have talent, or you have to be able to find talent. It's a kill what you eat world. So you're betting on yourself, and even though it's harder, it's more meaningful. The kind of relationships you have with clients, you know, the guy from Red Savoy, Reed, you know, looking, we sat down recently and looked back at all the stuff we had done in a couple years, and it was pretty cool. Joe up in South Dakota, down in South Dakota, I never know where South Dakota is, I'm sorry, Joe, but he took a chance on us. That means a lot, right, to have these people. When you're doing it yourself in the wilderness, just think of it this way. If you're in the wilderness and you see somebody and they share some food to eat with you and they show you where the water is and they show you where there's a 12-point buck. I don't know anything about hunting. I don't know how many points they can have. I don't even know if that's big. But you really, it's a different level, right? You appreciate it more. So get into the wilderness. This kid we know that's an emerging country star, I believe. You know, he's going to graduate from high school, and he's going to have to decide: does he want to go to school? You know, get that degree, do all the things you're supposed to do. You know, be a doctor, be a lawyer, or does he want to maybe go down to Nashville for a couple years and see what happens? Apologies to his mother. His mother's probably going to tell him to go to school. But you might end up another kid in college that can play the guitar. You can always figure out that stuff later. So maybe he needs to go in the wilderness and see what his talent can bring. Maybe he needs to bet on himself. I don't know. I'm not his mother, but that's why I'm doing the podcast, so that his uncle, John, might give him some advice, and I'd be more than willing to help with that. You know, when you're out in the wilderness, what it generally means is you're trying to do something and you don't know if you can do it. I've mentioned this quote before, but it's one of my favorites. Lorne Michaels said, "Saturday Night Live goes on at 11:30. That's Eastern time, folks. Sorry, I know it's 10:30 here. But 11:30, not because they're ready, but because it's 11:30. And this is an experience I have all the time. We just shot a commercial for the Minnesota Wild. On the day of, you know, I got my wife buying supplies. You know, we don't know if one of the guys we're going to film is going to show up. We can't find him. You're hoping the audio is okay because you only get one shot at the, you know, the filming with the players. And you figure it out. And when you do, it feels really, really good. And it's the same thing. I'm going to Chicago this week to film a hockey team. I think my camera guy's in, but I don't know. I might get a text tomorrow in the middle of the Viking game that says he can't do it, and I'm going to have to figure out a new camera guy by Tuesday. But that's kind of the adventure. That's what happens in the wilderness. So college kids, get some mud on your boots. Throw the map away. Bet on yourself. Put your talent in a knapsack and walk out into the woods and see what happens, because I guarantee you it's a hell of a lot easier to do that at 22 than it is to do it at 47. And I'm still glad I did it. Going to talk a little bit about Willie Anderson. I miss Will Anderson. I don't see him as much. He skates with us on Tuesdays. I should share, I had an awful Tuesday hockey experience. I every once in a while I have a day where I think I should retire, where I'm so bad that I'm embarrassed. I'm ruining the experience for everyone else. I actually toe-picked at the blue line, and I fell down, and I knocked the puck away from my own defenseman, and the other team took it and scored. And the guy that I knocked the puck away from, he just left. There was like 20 minutes left in the hour, and I just saw him walk off the ice, and he just went home. So that's the kind of energy I'm bringing to Tuesday night hockey. So I miss Willie Anderson. He skates on Mondays. He's better than me. But you would miss Willie Anderson, too, if he was your insurance guy, because he saves you money. He answers his phone. He gives you the insurance you'd give yourself if you knew everything. And if you don't know everything, he'll explain it to you like a children's book. So that's Willie Anderson. We'll get a post up from him over the holidays too. And, you know, you're about to shell out a bunch of dough for holiday cards and holiday parties and gifts. Why not save money every single month on your insurance with Will Anderson? I think that would be a good idea. So finishing, I'm going to tell you a drinking story. It's a partial drinking story. I've been in a couple, fights in my life, but they're not real fights. I'm from Edina, so I when I get in a fight, it's more like dad wrestling. Even when I was much younger, if there was a fight, I would usually grab a guy and dad wrestle him. So I have not been in a true swing, everybody's, you know, face punching. That is just not – the fact that I just called it face punching is probably some indication that I have not been in a fight. But I – been in a couple that I was around a fight, and one of them when I usually something's happened and there's a thing called fight or flight. You've heard of this, and it is absolutely a real thing. So in any situation, a dramatic situation, say you were in say there was a bomb somewhere and everything was going crazy, or there was a car accident and you were nearby, You do not have a choice. You will either run towards it or run away from it. And it's not bad no matter what you are. I would never, ever judge someone. So if there's a fight and you run, that is just kind of, it's in your DNA. You don't get to choose it. It's truly an instinct. I go towards it. But in this instance, there was a fight. I grabbed a guy. Hilariously, one of the things I decided to do while I had him pinned on the ground was ask him to say white bear. So I was kind of screaming over and over again, say white bear, say white bear, and kind of giving this guy a rug burn on the carpet of this bar. To his credit, he did not say White Bear. And to my credit, I shouldn't have said that because our house was egged the following day. Still have no idea if the two events were connected, but generally not a good idea when you get in a bar fight to scream over and over again where you live. I did get to jersey him before his friends took me into the bathroom and could have killed me, but chose not to. Thank you, guys. I have circled back with some of them, and it's all fine now. But the reason I tell this story is a friend of mine, a coworker, said there's actually more than just fight or flight, okay? Because technically, if I was fight, I would have grabbed this guy, started punching him in the face, and tried to, I guess, score points. All I was really trying to do was show my team that I was in it with them and, I guess, de-escalate it. So apparently there's fight, there's flight, there's posture, and submit. And I am what is called posture. So posture means it's like when a gorilla makes himself big, or if you were in the wilderness and you saw a bear and you made yourself loud and you started yelling at the bear, that would be posture. And I'm pretty sure if you dad wrestle someone in a bar fight, you're posturing. You're not really fighting. I just felt like I needed to share that with someone. Somewhere out there, there's another person that's a posture. I don't know what submit means. I don't think you want to be whoever the submit person is. Holy buckets. That's not going to be good. But closing this full circle, I want to go back to don't make plans and you won't be disappointed. Or make it happen and you won't be disappointed. The first one is the zoo. The second one is the wilderness. So why don't we make it happen and we won't be disappointed? And remember, it's Thanksgiving. Be thankful for everything you have. And you know what? Go easy on yourself. Listen to the beautiful lady from the UK. Go easy on yourself. Have a great, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. I'm glad you're on the journey with me. And keep sending those questions, young bucks. I'm trying my best to help you. Get it.